Good morning.
Morning.
First off, Dad, I do listen, and you do teach me well. I printed off what I was going to read just in case. Because if I get up here and the computer crashes, I'm in trouble because I got nobody to call. So, but I've been thinking over the last 20 years, thinking of how the different scriptures have become revealed to me. So I'm 31 years old. But there's a few scriptures that I can think about that have really become living to me. I think you all understand what I mean by that. One of them started off when I was a young kid. I remember I got my first Bible, the Salty's Songbook Bible. Anybody that grew up in the church probably knows about Salty. But there's a scripture, you know, mom and dad wrote in there to TJ on this date, you know, blah, 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 blah. And favorite scripture put on there, 1 Timothy 4:12. If you're not familiar with that, Paul's instructions to Timothy. Do not let anyone think less of you because of your youth. Be an example to all believers in what you say, the way you live, your love, your faith, and your purity. And as I've grown up, that's really begun to make sense. Do not let anybody think less of you. I've understood exactly what Paul, I think, was trying to say there. It's that God has everything in his time, in his capacity, in his will, and all he wants to do is use us. And it doesn't matter where your time is at, where you're at physically, mentally, skill-wise, education, and even your personality. You know, Dan's got a pretty good personality. God even uses Dan. God, his will is to use us all. And the Bible's full of scriptures that apply to today just as much as they did back in the days that they were written. Another one of those verses, Jeremiah 29:11. I know Dad stands behind this very much so. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He doesn't just put you into his plans. He's built plans that include you, that are built around you, around us, around the church, around the community, around what he's put on earth. Really, the only thing we can do, that we should do, that we have to do, that we are called to do, is to submit to him, to submit to what he's put us there for, to what we're supposed to fulfill. Do you know that he's put you right where you're at for a purpose, to fulfill a purpose, one of his plans? The hardest part for us, it's not for us to try to figure out, is it? You know, for me, that's just my personality. I can think of many toys that I've broken, and my mom can attest that I've tried to figure out how they work. Not always successfully, either. Val, I'm sure you know exactly what I mean by that. We take things apart. Even as a big kid, I've got toys in my basement that I've taken apart that I haven't quite figured out how to put back together yet. But when it comes to God's plans, we can't really try to figure it out, can we? It's not for us to figure out. You know, it's really easy for us to say, okay, well, God says it's not for us to figure out when the last day is going to be, when he's coming back. But sometimes we want to know, well, God, why are you doing this? Why is this happening? Why? And it's not for us to know. So when God does things or moves, usually I want to know why, but it's not for me to know why. I've come to the conclusion that it comes down to one thing. The whole reason I'm here is for his plan to be fulfilled on earth, either through me or with people around me, just like it should be for each one of us. You know, Wayne shared last week about Paul or Saul. I did not even realize. I thought for sure that God changed his name from Saul to Paul until I really started digging into it, and then I went and said, okay, well, yeah, Wayne's a pretty smart guy. He must know what he's talking about. Julie, Wayne's a pretty... Yeah, do you want just that little snippet? But, you know, it makes sense. God brought Paul into his plan to fulfill a purpose for his church. He's brought each one of us in. Whether you're sitting here and you've been in the church for a long time or a short time, whether you've been with God for a long time or a short time, he's brought each one of us into a position to fulfill his purpose as you go through. We think about David, Daniel, Peter. When I think of guys that are serving for a purpose, that were called for a purpose, that there was timing laid out. You know, the thing about David is that he had purpose all through his life, didn't he? But he had a destiny to be king. He had a purpose to protect his father's sheep. He did so very well. Part of that purpose, he also got to entertain God with his worship. And he did that very well. He had a purpose to go out and slay Goliath, to prove to the Philistines and to the Israelites that God was for them no matter what. He had that purpose. His destiny was to become king. And eventually, one day, in King David's world, his purpose and his destiny aligned, and they became one. But you know what's funny? Eventually, his purpose kind of changed a little bit. He became king, but then he had another purpose. And God called him on to something else. And the same is present for all of us. And we think about purpose, and you know, when I think about purpose in my own personal life, I think about when we found out we were pregnant with Josiah. That was a whirlwind. As some of you might know, we'd already gone through two miscarriages. And at that point, when you go through that, you're basically going, God, don't let this be another one, right? You just don't want to go through that again. So we started digging through, and we got our baby name lists out, and we did all this, and we both agreed on Josiah, not because it sounded cool or, you know, we could call him Joe or it was different, because we both came and we noticed what it meant when we looked at it through the Bible. You know, King Josiah, at the age of 8, came in and kind of flipped over what his dad had created, brought them, his people, back to God, and did so with pretty good tenacity even for such a young guy. And so we picked on Josiah because we were standing on Jeremiah 29:11, that God knows what he's got in plan for Josiah more than I do, more than mom does. So, Lord, Josiah, he's ready to be used by you at whatever age he can be. Whenever you're ready, Lord. So that's why we chose that name. The other verse that really came alive, and I've heard this verse through years and years of church. It was used, it's been used in this church a lot, and it explains one thing. Ecclesiastes 3:1. A time for everything, a reason for everything, a season for everything, every activity under the heavens. And that taught me that God has everything in his timing. He's brought everything together. He moves things. He does things all because of his timing. And that taught me that I can always trust on him. I can always trust that where he's taking me, whether it be as my career, whether it be as my relationship that led to marrying Beth, whether it be with the just my what I do when I go to a store, when I go to hang out with friends, that God has time and he has a reason for everything. And we've all gone through what we call seasons, right? Different changes. Well, today, I want to share with you a season that's gone on. It's been going on for 20 years. My memory serves me right, and I'm pretty sure I can remember the day that we came down in steps into this old gymnasium as a family, when mom and dad stepped out in faith and brought us and our family over to this church. It was, I can't imagine it was very easy to be part of a church for so long, and then we move into another church, another family. Now, I can remember a lot of things that have come through, you know. I don't know what was going through their head, but here we were a family. We had my oldest sister Heather and a senior in high school, and Micah had just started first grade. And that was the range of emotions and attitudes that they had to deal with. But they brought all of us kids into this church, and we sat down and sang, we learned. Over the times, we went through different phases. We met new friends. We did different things with different people. And some of the things that I can think of in the 20 years, we've gone on quite a few different trips working through the church. I can remember some of the things that stand out was the time that Mom and Dad sat us down and said, you know what, Dad's going to step away from his job at Walmart. He's going to just work at the church. So what? How can you do that, Dad? How can you step away from from Walmart? You know? But he did. I got to see him serve. I got to see Mom and Dad trust God. I got to see other people around us lift us up in prayer, take care of needs that came up, help out with us kids. As I've grown up, I've gotten to see how the church works as a family. I've gotten to do different things. It's turned into 15 years of service at the church. It's turned into going to mission trips to Matamoros, Mexico, Cancun, Mexico. We did evangelism on the streets of New York City. We went to Pensacola, Florida. A lot of things have happened through this church. You know, it was right over here that I made a commitment. I asked God into my life before coming to this church, but I made a commitment to God with my life here at this church. That I said, okay, God, here's what my plans were, but I want what your plans are. And I know Dan can probably recall it just as clear as I can, me laying on the floor for, seemed like hours, probably was hours based on the meetings that we were having at the time. But a long time that God took a hold of me. And you know, that actually led me into meeting Beth. And we all know where that got me. For the better. For the better. For the better. Yeah. We'll edit that. Don't worry. So, but those things all happened in the season that started as Mom and Dad moving from one church to another. And just like that, at the end of this month, Beth and I have made the decision that we feel it's time for us to close the season of our life and start a new season with God, taking our family somewhere else. And we don't know exactly where. But we've been praying, and it's funny how things happen, because I found out after talking with Mom and Dad now, is that they knew that there was change coming for about 2 years before they actually felt where they needed to go or that the change was here, you know. And it's been about 2 years that Beth and I have just felt like there's something, God's got something else in plan. And not knowing what, not knowing where, not knowing when, just that God has something in store. And he's always put it on us that we are to serve until he calls us somewhere else and to do something else or to be something else, whatever the case might be. So we've served for 2 years, not knowing exactly what God had in store for tomorrow. One of the things that we've always done is we have always prayed. We've always asked God for guidance. And we've did that, going into our marriage, going in just even as boyfriend and girlfriend, we would pray and ask God for guidance. And you might think this is crazy, but with both of us praying, both of us knew that we were going to marry the other person long before we even started dating, before we actually, we made it official. We started You know, nowadays, before we put it on our relationship status on Facebook, okay, that was before Facebook, so. But that's the type of prayers that we would ask God, and he would answer. So we've always trusted that God is going to give us answers when it's time. The last 3 months, all of a sudden, it became time. You know, every time that there'd be a little bit of a change, whether it be in the church or in our family dynamic, obviously going through three different kids, the dynamic has changed just a little bit. You know, we don't get to do as much as we used to be able to do on our own. But every time that changed, we'd always, okay, God, is now the time? Is now something different? And we never felt peace. We never felt that it was the time. We never, for me, every time I thought about change, I didn't know what was going to happen. I've been pretty good where I've been at, God, for the last little bit. The times that I've changed, it's usually been for a different job, and that's always worked out pretty good. I didn't want to screw it up. Something can't be this good all the time, right? So I started telling God, whenever it's that time for us to change, whatever it is, whether it's, moving to a different house or going to a different job, whatever that change is that we've been feeling for this time, you got to give me peace. You got to give me the peace that I felt, just like when I turned away from my plans here to go into the military and to serve you. About 3 months ago, that peace suddenly hit me. Just me and God. And like I told Dan this week, it's unexplainable. Every time before, we started to think and we kind of felt like, okay, when that time for change comes, it's going to be a real change. A change from ministry, a change from our normal, what we do. And we knew that it was going to, and that made me sick to my stomach every time I thought about it because it was going to be something different. But that's how I knew that it wasn't now. It's not time for now. Until all of a sudden, I can remember, as odd as it may sound or whatever, but I'm sitting in the waiting room for urgent care. And I'd just been praying to God. And the timing of it may look different. Obviously, Beth not being able to attend as often as before, it may look like it's driven a decision, but it hasn't. That's just how we've been able to handle with Mom not being able to help out in the nursery and keep Mommy sane at home for the most part. But I was sitting there a few months ago in the urgent care waiting room. I've been praying all the way home from work, and then I prayed all the way to the urgent care. God, what? There's something different. There's something going on here. What is it? What is it? And all of a sudden God told me, just start typing in what? I'd pull up my phone, start putting in words. Where do you see me and your family? Where do you see me in your family? What do you want for your family from me type of things? So I just start typing. I just went on and on. I got called back into the room. The nurse left. I pulled out my phone and I started going again until the doctor showed up. And that was the first time I thought, gosh, I'm okay with you, God. If you're going to take us away from Harvesters, or you're going to have me step out of ministry, or you're going to have me do something different, I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever you have in store for us. And that's when God started revealing. He revealed to me and he revealed to Beth, I would say separately, that now's the time. So it's with sadness, but it's with anticipation that we make this step. But we do it because we feel like God's got something else for our family. As I've shared with Mom and Dad, and I've shared with Dan and Tracy, and kind of what's been going through my head, what I think or see or hear from God, I think of how our family and the goals that we want our family to serve God. And I want to make sure that my family doesn't get caught up in the ministry family where you come to church and you serve. And you come to church and you serve. And so when I talked to Dad and I said, Dad, in some churches you could step down. Step down from ministry. I said, but I couldn't step down from ministry and not be caught up in the ministry still. to make sure that things are taken care of, just because that's what I, how I am. And I told Dan, I said, you know, even if I go to a new church to when we're out of town, I still got that drive, because I'm still a part of it at the at Harvesters, that I, you know, I'm looking at how they do music, how do they do their sound, how do they do this, how do they do that. And I know, talking to Dad, and it's, we are a little bit alike, so I know that he goes through the same things. That instead of going and enjoying a time with God, your brain's still going. But Beth and I have both, we feel at peace, that it's, this is something for our family to see what God has in store next. And I don't know where he's taking us. I don't know what he's got in store, but I know he's got something going on, because I can just tell. I can feel it. Just like he told me that Beth was the woman for me that he had chosen for me. And I went, okay, God. And I go, no, that's the woman for you. Oh, okay, God. That's the same type of feeling that we both have. And we want to say thank you for what you guys have given. I've talked to Dad. The plan is that at the end of the month that we would step down from all the ministry and serving and turn over the keys, so to speak, and start whatever God has in store. But we want to thank every one of you for what you guys have done for our family, what you have given to us, what you've instilled. We've gotten gobs of parenting advice. We've gotten gobs of life advice. We've gotten a ton of support through some of those hard times, through the happy times. And we are leaving our church family, leaving our family that, you know, that I've been a part of with some of you guys for 20 years, some of you even longer. And so it is a tough decision, and it's not, I don't want to say it's an easy one, but when I put my faith out there, it's really easy to say, God, this is what I believe that you're calling me to do. You know, one of the things that I talked with Dad and I talked with the other two, Tracy and Dan, I said, I don't have any ill thoughts towards the church. I don't have anything bad about the church that I can say. You know, a lot of people leave a church and it's because they've been offended or they've been hurt or I just feel like there's something different, you know. It's, if God were to say, you know what, you're to stay here and serve for another 20 years, I'd do it. But then the other side is, if God calls me to go and sit under a different church roof for 2 years and do absolutely nothing but just sit with him, let's do it. And I know Beth's the same way, and that's where we're at. And I've asked God, why now, why at this point? And the way I can describe it, there's a few things. Obviously, we've heard the word niche come out of the pulpit a few times around here, and I want to be part of the church body of Janesville. And I really believe that the way that we are set up, that God has the church body of Janesville set up, and there's different ministries that are going to minister to the niches of the community. Families, young group, young adults, college age kids, the teens, the older people, whatever the case might be, that it's God's got his church community beginning to develop. And I think it goes to show by what's going on tonight at our church and what's happened for the last, I think, 5 months at other churches, 3 months. So with pastors coming together, and that's been going on for over 2 years, I think, with different pastors in the community coming together and praying. And one of the things that when Beth and I started feeling a while back that there could be some change and we may not be coming to Harvester's Church on Sunday mornings, was that, God, I don't want to go to a church that's so scared of other pastors that they're afraid to be the community church of Janesville, with believers getting together throughout the year or coming together and praying for Janesville, not just bring them to our church or do this for our church, but God, just touch Janesville. And all of a sudden it just clicked. Well, what do you think's been going on for the last 2 years, TJ? Here we go. God's been getting pastors together, different denominations, different thoughts, different stages of their life, you know, and bringing them together to where the Church of Janesville is truly, I believe, stronger than it has been for a long time. And I believe it's just that the time that God has Beth and I at a spot where we're both ready to go deeper with Him and see what He has in store and go from there. And like I told Dad, I've told Dan and Tracy, you know, if God were to call me back in 2 years or whatever, then I would consider it that I was just going out and being refilled and getting that relationship back with God, to go deeper and deeper with Him, to come back and be able to serve in a better capacity, more whatever that He needs me to be. But that God's got something for us to do, and that we don't want to pass that up or let it pass me by. So we, like I said, with sadness but with anticipation, we appreciate what you guys have done for our family. We appreciate all the lessons, you know, both from people in the congregation now, people in the congregation from all the years past. You know, Pastor Hoblett has taught me a lot, and it's good to reflect back, but I can't wait to see what God has in store. And you guys will definitely be on our hearts. I told Dad, I said, you know, if your thing's with technology, Dad, I have no problem helping you out. I understand that's not, you know, so he hasn't started turning in everything and going to the Amish way yet, but he... But, you know, me personally, I can't wait to see what happens here at this church. And I can't. I know there's something that God has in store. I don't know what it is. I really don't. But as I'm sitting across the table and I was talking to a good brother in Christ and a good friend, and the conversation was not going this way, but all of a sudden he said, you know, who knows? He said, you know, maybe you just following God, maybe that's what needs to happen to burst the bubble of what God has in store for Harvesters and what God has in store at another church. He goes, and who are you to stand in between there? And I said, I don't know, man. You're right. And so I believe God has something in store for every one of us. And, you know, as we go through different seasons, we go through different times of change, things get a little different. Things get a little maybe crazy and hectic for a little bit. Things get a little uncomfortable at times. But when you're doing it because God told you to do it, then it doesn't matter anyways. God's got you where He's got you for a reason. Again, going back to it, doesn't matter where you're at. Time, where you're at, education-wise, where you're at, skill-wise, age-wise, whatever the case might be. Our whole purpose here is to just serve God and to serve Him for the purpose and the time that He's got us where we're at. And we are both very, very confident that we've done that to the best of our ability and with a lot of God's help for the last, for me, 15 years, for Beth, which we've been together for a long time, almost 10 years married, so, and just because God told me that didn't mean that I immediately went out and got a ring. Trust me, it took another 5 years almost before I even proposed to her. So I was waiting for God's voice of direction on that one too, I think. Yeah. But we do feel like we've satisfied what God has asked us to do, and that He's not done with us. We're not, you know, one thing that I told Dad, I said, you know, I don't want to sit and do what I am used to doing and end up getting hurt or turned off or anything like that, you know. I said, that's why people leave the church. It's because they don't want to do it, but they do it, and they do it, and they do it, and eventually they just get worn out. So that's the last thing I want to do. And I was telling Tracy, I said, I don't know how people can just turn away from God, leave the church, and walk away because they got hurt. Because if they need anybody, it's God at that point. And that's something that Beth and I have been very strong in conviction that whenever, whatever happens, you know, that we immediately go and find where God has us to go. And so we're committed to that. We're committed to taking our family along with. We're committed to making sure that we take the time to let God work in us to get us ready for whatever's next. And we're committed to do whatever he calls us to do next until the next time that he calls us to do something else. And that's, I think, all that God has asked us to do. So I appreciate it, and we've got a few more weeks, but I know Dad has shared with some of the prayer team, and I've talked with some of the advisors, and definitely with Dad first to, you know, let him know, hey, this is what's going on, and no ill thoughts towards the church. I don't want any rumors started or anything like that, that me and Dad don't get along. You know, he's still my dad, so he still doesn't know everything, but he at least knows enough. I guess he knows enough to print off his electronic copy before he goes up to the pulpit. But it's just that God's calling, God's changing the seasons. So I appreciate it.
Amen.
Well, yeah. So it's been kind of interesting for myself. Knowing that God is always right, you know, God always has the plan. God is the God with the plan, and we just need to follow it and work it out. I know a couple of weeks back when TJ stopped over and, for something I thought was totally, I can't remember what I had him come over for to do something, and by the time he left, which was many hours later, it's like I looked over at his mom and I go, wow, that was a visit. Because... I'm sure it was hard for him to dig it out to say, Dad, here's a letter of resigning from leadership and children's and all the ministries, music, everything that they've done. TJ and Beth have been a big part of the church. TJ, like he was saying, for many, many years. I remember back with Pastor Hoblett and the youth group, and he was very active in the youth group and then became like a co-leader, and then him and Beth co-led, and they worked together as the youth. And in those years of time here, he's not sat. He's been very instrumental. And then he stepped in to help him with children's ministries and kind of leadership of that and, you know, music. Picked up for a while the baton for men's ministry. And the IT, computer stuff, you know, where churches are at. So it was kind of interesting. He had told me that Sunday night. He goes, well, Dad, it's kind of like when you started coming back and sharing how many other nice pastors there are in town and churches, I realize that it's not just Harvester's Church, you know, that there's other good churches out there and they're preaching the word, you know. And he says, that kind of opened my eyes that, okay, Lord, you know, we don't have to be in a cocoon and it's just Harvester's is the only thing. I said, well, great, Lord, that's great. I go to visit with these pastors. Now I'm coming back with all the good news and people are going, you mean there's other good people out there? I'll see you later, Tim. I'm on my way out. And then he talked about the niche. He goes, and you started sharing about the niche. He says, I just found it the niche of God and where we're to be as a family and as a couple. And, you know, it's a lot of things. So God had fun with me because I kind of chuckled with that too. He's like, well, great. Now, Lord, the message of the niche has caused my son to leave the church. Great. But I count it an honor that God may be speaking those things through me because of me hearing him. And it spoke into my son's life to open up an opportunity to say, there's other good churches out there. Yes, there are. You know, and it is important for us to find that spot with God for all of us, no matter if it's a Harvester's Church or another church out there. And so I gave him some churches that I knew that had some even vibrant children's ministries because, you know, they got three kids. You got to look for a church that's got children's ministries, really, for a family. And I shared this that next Wednesday with the pastor's group that I was with, you know. It's like, well, this is what I found out over the weekend. But when he told me that on Sunday, Monday I'm cleaning up, you know, brushing teeth, shaving, blah, blah, blah. And I just felt the Lord say, Tim, you can't be selfish. I go, what? And just in the spirit, God says, you're being selfish if you think you've got to hold on to him there to do areas of ministry. Or really the big thing I probably started hyperventilating on was the computer stuff. You know, because we've been there a few times. When they've been out of town, Tracy's been out of town, it's been me back there, and something don't work, and it's like, what? what is this? You know, blue screen computer, nothing's working. Oh. So TJ said that. I said, well, I'll get Dan and we'll get the old overhead projector out and we get those transparencies out. We'll start drawing on them and putting them up there, you know. But we'll believe that the system's working. Now, so this past week, I've been doing some things out here. Bless his heart, Dean, you know, we're looking at areas of music and how I'll step into that and kind of lead that, and Mom's going to be on the piano, which it's really a blessing. It's been a long time since Dean has been able to come out here, because on Sundays is really her time of being able to see her grandkids, because she's working full-time, and she missed seeing the grandkids, and so being in a nursery for her was a blessing to where she could see those kids. I, throughout the week, could see him or stop by or whatever the case might be. And so it worked well for her. But here again, it was a season, and I think God brings us into these seasons. And I think it's a great time now to where I'm looking forward to her back out here, and she's practicing and keyboard and going to play the piano up here. And got the guy coming out to retune the piano this week, just kind of check it out and just kind of see where God's taking us in that direction. So as we begin to prepare that way, it's just I know God is in control of all of it, and we'll just go with God, amen? And so, but that was those things that God says, you're selfish, Tim. And I said, I don't want to be selfish, Lord. I know this is the best thing for them. I know it's good for them. I know they need that. And I told TJ, I agree with you 100%. I think it's the right thing to do, even when he was sitting across from me in the living room. But, you know, your mind starts doing these things. But I had to get to that point and say, okay, Lord. And it is. We're all his children, and God is going to move us. And the one thing I did suggest to him, I said, whatever church you get to, I would encourage you to sit as a couple and as a family and don't get involved in helps. He's been involved in helps for 20 years, guys. 15 years, and then married and kids. It's hard, you know. TJ was up here. Beth was over there. Kids were in the back, you know. TJ was teaching Sunday school over here. His kids were over there. You know, Beth was back there. It was just a tremendous pull on one family. And ministry is not to be that. I don't think God is wanting us to have families get into ministry so that he can pull the families apart. You know, it's got to be to where the families cohesively work together and things are done in a proper line. God first, family, you know, well, God, your spouse, family, church. You know, church is not the top thing, believe it or not. You know, it's down here. We got to always serve God. We got to serve our spouse and our family and that level there. And then the church comes after that. Because if we do that opposite of that, we've seen a lot of marriages and a lot of families destroyed because of what? The church, not because of God. God never said to do that. It was the church putting demands on people, the church expecting people to help. You know, this guy here goes into another church and they get a wind of what he's been doing and involved with and he loves to serve. They'll want to latch on to that, because I would probably be the same way, to a point like, well, that's great. You're good with IT. Hey, we've been looking for you can play an instrument. Come and join our band, you know. And it's like you almost want to go in there and say, I'm just a bumpkin off the wagon. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just here, you know. Don't give out your talents. Wait until God tells you to do that. But anyway, it's really one of those times of, okay, Lord, I can understand, and we trust you, amen. And so I've had some good times with my pastor friends and being able to pray, and their support, and that's what that group is for. See, it's full of pastors that we pray for our congregations. We pray for the pastor himself personally as they're going through situations in their home. In their body of church and whatever is going on. So the churches, the pastors have been a good support for all of us. And the one thing, you know, that I'm finding is like, oh, great, now I'm having a little hiccup in praise and worship. As interesting, a week before that, a church was sharing about, oh, boy, what a thing we're having. You know, our worship leader and all that does a really good job. He's decided to go into another area, and he's moving out, and he's going somewhere else across country. It's like, I don't know what we're going to do. And then like 2 weeks, I'm in the same window going, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm right with you, brother. You know, maybe we ought to join together. I don't know. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. And so God is still there for all of those situations. And I appreciate, thank you, TJ, for everything you've done and do. We're going to pray for him. At the end of the month, we'll kind of pray for the family as a unit, and or we lay hands on them, or just anoint them, whatever the Lord leads us to want to do. But we'll pray for them the last Sunday of the month. And so that was good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So are you guys okay with it? I hope so, because I'm okay with it, you know, and our encouragement for one another, and we'll keep them in prayer. Thank you, Father. But, you know, when he goes back, I was just going through my files this past week and looking at old stuff in there and something way back in 03, I think it was, or 06, maybe 03. And there's like a little letter there that he had typed out to send to Beth to join him in this youth adventure thing that he'd put together, the Josiah Convention or something like that, many years. Was that 06? 03 it was. Yeah, 03. Back in 2003, he had it upon his heart to put together a youth conference here. And he had Mike Duckworth is going to be the speaker, and we had it. He put it together. He put flyers out. He contacted churches. He did everything TJ did. He was just fired up to do that. And with one of those things, I think he had sent a letter over or some kind of a communication to Beth and just inviting her and different things like that. And that's kind of interesting how that all kind of drew that all back together again. But so, you know, if it wasn't with the youth and just fire for that and helping Dave and Jen, was it? You know, helping with youth group back then. And so I go through my files. I see a lot of a lot of TJ stuff in there of his imprint of what he was wanting to try to do and what he did do, you know, while he served. And so, yeah, after he started calling about, yeah, Pepsi-Cola, man, I remember going there, New York. Oh, that was a trip, let me tell you there. Woo, New York, that was something too. Didn't go to Cancun, but I remember we went, I was blessed as a father and all to have a couple of my kids go to a mission trip with us down to Matamoros in Mexico, and that was an eye-opener there as well. But so there's been a lot of times that through the church, being a blessing and going out and serving and just seeing what God is doing out there, so. Many more things like that that God has planned for us. And so, anyway, Lord. So we want to just kind of close out. It's like 10 till. We'll have a couple of songs maybe. And just, again, invite you back tonight at 5 o'clock and join us for prayer. And keep that time in prayer, amen, for just God to move and to hear our petitions. And so I thank you for your attention of today, and just for your encouragement day in and day out. I, you know, that time when I talked about being still before the Lord and how Janice shared one day after that and she wasn't there, but the Lord was saying and all that. God is interesting because he confirms things to each of us through other people. And so I would encourage you to be sensitive to God. And if he shares things with you, you know, and you don't know exactly what it means for something, it's okay to go up to the person and just say, you know, I don't know if this really has any bearing or anything important to you, but I believe God has just shared this with me. And just share it, you know. You know, if you share something with somebody and says, now you need to go walk on the Rock River, you know, and God will keep you afloat, you might want to really hear from God first before you take that advice. So you weigh it a little bit, okay? But be sensitive to God, and this is his working and sharing through us. You never know what you share to someone else. It really is a big help sometimes, amen? So let's